Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, Fundamental Principles of Material Nature, Text 29. Taijasat tu vikurvanad buddhi tatvam abhut sati dravya spurana vijnanam indriyanam anugraha taijasatu vikurvanad buddhi tatvam abhut sati dravya spurana vijnanam indriyanam anugraha taijasatu vikurvanad buddhi tatvam abhut sati dravya spurana vijnanam indriyanam anugraha taijasatu vikurvanad buddhi tatvam abhut sati dravya spurana vijnanam indriyanam anugraha taijasat. From the false ego in passion to then vikurvanat, undergoing transformation, buddhi, intelligence, tatvam, principle, abhut, took birth, sati, O virtuous lady, dravya, objects, spurana, coming into view, vijnanam, ascertaining, indriyanam, through the senses, anugraha, giving assistance. Translation. By transformation of the false ego in passion, intelligence takes birth, O virtuous lady. The functions of intelligence are to help in ascertaining the nature of objects when they come into view, and to help the senses. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Intelligence is the discriminating power to understand an object, and it helps the senses make choices. Therefore, intelligence is supposed to be the master of the senses. The perfection of intelligence is attained when one becomes fixed in the activities of Krishna consciousness. By the proper use of intelligence, one's consciousness is expanded, and the ultimate expansion of consciousness is Krishna consciousness. Translation. By transformation of the false ego in passion, intelligence takes birth, O virtuous lady. The functions of intelligence are to help in ascertaining the nature of objects when they come into view, and to help the senses. Amagyanatamarandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha vancha kalpa tarubhyas cha kripa sindhubhyeva cha paridhanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunachananda Shri Advaiti Gadadha Shivasti Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama 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 Hari Hari. So intelligence is being described here, and intelligence is very important for all living entities. Intelligence means the faculty to discriminate between right and wrong, or good and bad, and in this way one becomes able to make proper and constructive decisions about what one should do in life, and also one has the ability to execute those decisions effectively. and actually achieve the real goals. So that intelligence, at least within this material world, as we're hearing here, as the universe is unfolding and the Mahatattva is developing out of the Pradhana, that intelligence is coming actually from Pradyumna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And on the material platform, that intelligence is developing by a transformation of false ego and passion. In other words, through material intelligence, a person is able to make arrangements for material enjoyment within this world. Without material intelligence, then there's no possibility of the living entity making any progress on any level. And specifically here, mention is being made of the material level of sense gratification. Without intelligence, one will not be able to execute any type of plan. So intelligence is very important. And even material intelligence is coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, particularly in the form of Pradyumna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains how intelligence is coming from Him. Savasya chaham riddhi sannivishto, mata smriti ajnanam apanam cha. That I'm seated within everyone's heart, and from me only, is coming knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness. So this intelligence and the functions of intelligence are being directly controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the highest level of intelligence then is when one uses one's intelligence in the service of the Supreme Lord. Krishna will certainly supply all intelligence to such a person. Here it's being described that intelligence is meant to be higher than the senses. Intelligence gives that discriminating power through which one can understand the nature of some object when it comes into view. And in this way, the intelligence helps the senses to act. In Bhagavad Gita, at the end of the third chapter, Lord Krishna explains that the senses are higher than dull matter, and the mind is higher than the senses. Then the intelligence is higher than the mind. And finally, he, the self, the soul, is higher even than the intelligence. So this is a type of hierarchy, an order of elevation of these different features of the personality of any person within this material world. Ideally, the self is situated in control of the other faculties, and the self, being properly situated, is then engaging the intelligence that you make the proper arrangements to facilitate my personal needs, my real goals in life. So you make some plan, and then you direct the mind that we are going to now carry out whatever plan it is for my benefit. Then the mind, under the direction of the intelligence, engages the senses that now we're going to do this with our hands, with our legs, with our eyes and ears. The mind, under the direction of the intelligence, engages the senses to practically execute that plan for the benefit of the self. And then the senses, in that way, engage dull matter. One may be building a house, so the senses take the various ingredients and construct the house, whatever it may be. So this is the order which is there. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. Or rather, this is the order that should be there. But we find that when the living being is on the material platform, that in many regards, that order is reversed. In other words, there are so many sense objects which are simply dull matter. Then the senses perceive those sense objects, like perhaps something like a cigarette or some food, something like that, simply dead matter. But the senses perceive that, and then they send a message to the mind that we would like this. We want to eat. We want to hear. We want to drink. And the mind, perceiving all this through the senses, the mind thinks, oh yes, this sounds very good. We do want this. So then the mind sends a message to the intelligence that we need this. So you please make some arrangement whereby we can get this. And the intelligence thinks, oh yes, we have to make a plan. This is our real interest, our real goal, to get this object of sense gratification and thereby enjoy. So the intelligence makes some plan. And the self, at least the spirit soul, is helpless. He is bewildered. He doesn't understand his real position. So identifying on the level of false ego, not real ego, what is really the nature of the soul, but the soul in it, that confused state, identifying with false ego, thinking that I am this body, and I am this mind, I am these senses, I am the intelligence, these are all part of me, then the bewildered spirit soul thinks, yes, this is my goal. This is a very valuable thing for me to do. So yes, we'll do that. So in this way, the conditioned souls within this material world are pursuing the sense objects. And they're coming under the control of the sense objects. Like the person who's addicted to cigarettes or to alcohol or any sort of pursuit, pursuing the opposite sex. The sense objects are there. And perceiving the sense objects in this way, the conditioned soul is being dictated to and is dedicating himself to getting the sense objects, even though in so many cases they're simply dull matter. So the order is being reversed. Instead of the self dictating according to what are his real needs, what are of real value to ourselves in our true state, as pure spirit soul, it's around the other way. The sense objects are dictating, you need me. And so we are pursuing those things. This is very unfortunate. So the cigarette addict is thinking that I must have the cigarette. If I don't get the cigarette, then my life is going to be very bad. So I must get it. He's being dictated to, simply by dull matter. So this is called Godas, servant of the senses. This is a very ignoble, ignominious type of position for the pure spirit soul, who is actually transcendental to the material nature. Very unfortunate position for the pure soul to be put into. And as a result, even though the pure living being is spiritual energy, not part of the material world, the pure spirit soul is forced to suffer here within this material world. Krishna makes this point in the Gita, Aparaya mitastranyam prakritim vidhi me param jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. That there, within this world, He has already, just in the previous verse, described the material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. These are my separated material energies, Lord Krishna says. But then in this particular verse, he says that there is another nature within this world which is superior to this manifest, sometimes manifest, and sometimes unmanifest material nature. Prakritim vidhi me param, shishi radharadhanath kid. This is the Prakritim vidhi me param, a superior energy to the apara, material nature. And this is the jiva bhuta, the living beings, our souls, spiritual living beings. But we are struggling here within this material world. Manai vanso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Manasya stan indriyani prakriti stani karshati. Lord Krishna explains that the living entities within this conditioned world, they are my eternal, fragmental parts. They're eternal. So they're pure, spiritual living beings. But, mana shastan indriyani, prakriti svani karshati. They're struggling here with the six senses, which include the mind. Those are our predicament within this material world. That we have become attached to the sense objects, to matter. So matter is now dictating to us, controlling us. That just stay here within this material world and gratify your senses and try to become happy. This is what you should do. The material energy is dictating to us like that. And unfortunately, we're agreeing. Yes, I'll pursue the various allurements that you have to offer. So this is not very intelligent. We're using our intelligence to do this. But when we consider how much intelligence is available from the Supreme Lord, this is not a very good use. So this is not a use of very much intelligence. Prabhupada says here, by the proper use of intelligence, one's consciousness is expanded. And the ultimate expansion of consciousness is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is such a broad manifestation of consciousness that it includes everything. It includes everything within this material nature. It includes the spiritual nature. It includes the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. That is all there within Krishna consciousness. So it's a very broad manifestation of consciousness or intelligence to understand things in this light. But material consciousness, of course there are different degrees, but they're much narrower. At most, a materialistic person, he may have some type of consciousness, broad consciousness, which may include many other living beings. A nationalistic type of consciousness. Or maybe even he is conscious, his consciousness includes that he is considering all other human beings on this planet, like a philanthropist. He's aware, at least to some extent, of the suffering of other human beings, or maybe even other species. So his expansion, his consciousness is expanded to at least take into consideration these things. Whereas another person, his consciousness may be narrower, that there's only my family, or perhaps only me. And really nothing else is of much importance. So when I use my intelligence, it's simply in terms of me. What am I going to get out of this situation? And everyone else they don't really figure. So this is an even narrower manifestation of intelligence or consciousness. So certainly the greatest, the widest display of intelligence or consciousness is there in Krishna consciousness. But as the living being becomes more conditioned in material life, more attached to the idea of my enjoyment independent of the Supreme Lord and ultimately independent of anyone else, his intelligence and his consciousness becomes proportionately narrower. So Krishna consciousness means to broaden our intelligence, expand and develop our awareness. And to do this, we should try to understand what is intelligence, what is consciousness, how is it actually functioning, how can I take advantage or develop my intelligence, develop my consciousness to a higher and broader level, what is the process? In the second chapter of the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada devotes one quite lengthy purport towards the end of that chapter to elaborately describing how intelligence is functioning. We already mentioned that in the Gita, Krishna says that it is He Himself, the Supreme Lord, who is supplying mata smritir jnanam apoanam cha. From Him, sarvasya chaham riddhi sannivishto, the Supreme Lord situated within the hearts of all living beings, it is Him who is supplying knowledge, remembrance, and even forgetfulness. These things are coming from the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada begins that description by explaining how if any person, even a person who's very conditioned, if they consider the example that this is my hand, my chest, my leg, my head, my body, my mind, my intelligence, then it becomes clear that these things are mine and they're not me. And these things, one also sees that, or one understands these things are supplied to me. Where did this body come from? I don't know, but somehow or other at this point it's my body. So there is some supply going on to me. Things fall under my control, then I identify with them as mine. But they're not me. And when we look at this particular feature of our nature, our intelligence, then the fact that our intelligence is being supplied to us and is not simply something which is totally under our control, as if it was actually ours to utilize as we wanted, that becomes very clear. In that sometimes our intelligence is functioning quite nicely. We can remember things nicely. We can understand things quite nicely. We can present things quite nicely and organize our lives relatively nicely with our intelligence. But at other times, we can't remember anything. We can't figure out anything, or at least we are having great difficulty. We can't organize ourselves. We become confused. We make so many mistakes. So why is this happening? It's happening because we're not getting as much intelligence supplied to us as at that time when we were doing things very nicely. This is what is actually happening. A person, for example, the great, so-called great composer Tchaikovsky. I don't know if you've ever heard of Tchaikovsky. I don't know if he's very famous in Indian circles, but anyway, he's supposedly a great composer of classical type music. So to compose that music, it took such great intelligence. Not many people can do that. But then, sometime when he was around 30 or so, he lost his intelligence completely. And he went mad. He became schizophrenic. And he spent the last so many years of his life locked up in a mental home. And he couldn't even put food in his mouth. Completely bewildered. What to speak of composing these great symphonies and things? He couldn't even put his clothes on. So what does that mean? It means he lost his intelligence. He had great intelligence, but then he lost it. So it's not that intelligence is like some intrinsic part of our being that we can simply use as we want, when we want. No. It's being supplied. And sometimes it's being withdrawn. When it's supplied, then we can do things very nicely. When it's withdrawn, then we find it difficult. So this Prabhupada is describing there, that we can understand from this that there is a person who is directing this intelligence to us. So we have to somehow or other, if we really want to get intelligence, plenty of intelligence, then we have to make some arrangement with this supplier so that he'll supply us plenty, as much as we need or as much as we want, so that we can develop our intelligence very, very nicely. Because it's not simply within our control. So this supplier of intelligence is, of course, the Supersoul, Paramatma. In Bhagavad Gita, there in that verse 15:15, when Krishna says that it's me, I'm situated within your heart, he doesn't mean exactly Krishna, who is with Radharani in Goloka Vrindavan. No, he means the Paramatma, Shiradakshai Vishnu, his expansion, who is situated within our hearts. The Supersoul within this material world. So, we have to please the Supersoul. This is a very logical type of understanding which develops. That if we want to get something from someone, then we have to please them. We can't just go and demand that you must give me this. No. Particularly with a very big person. So this big person who's supplying all this intelligence to all these people, we can't demand from him. And we must have intelligence. If we don't have intelligence, then our lives become very hopeless. So we need it. Actually, I remember in 1976, at the Mayapur Festival, Srila Prabhupada gave one lecture in which he explained that it's quite clear that the human beings, the human species, they are generally supplied more intelligence than the animals. But we also see that the human beings, they're on the level of animals in many ways. At least their main activities are eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So when they get this intelligence, they use it for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. This is an abuse of this great gift which they are getting from the Supersoul or from Krishna. And what happens when, with their intelligence, they make intelligent plans to gratify their senses much more cleverly than the animals? What happens is that they eventually become worse than the animals. Through the demoniac spirit of sense enjoyment being facilitated by this intelligence. For example, abortion. In the animal species, of course there's no abortion as such. And generally we see that the animals, the mothers, they're very concerned to protect their children. will not allow anyone to come near them. But the human being, they'll kill their own children within the womb. So this is worse than the animals, actually. And the human beings, they are systematically raising animals and growing crops and so on, and then slaughtering them simply so they can eat. And they're raising the animals, particularly in very horrible conditions. And then there's so much waste. So much gets thrown away. We read that every year in Europe and America, the governments dump hundreds and thousands of tons of excess food into the Atlantic Ocean. So with their intelligence, they are making all these plans to exploit other living beings, particularly the animals, putting them through such great pain in a very systematic, so-called intelligent way. And then in the end, they're dumping so much of it in the ocean, or so much is just going rotten and being wasted. But we don't find that the animals do that. They don't raise other living beings in captivity, in very horrible conditions, and then kill them. And then if there's too much, then just chuck it away as if it meant nothing. No. So, when intelligence is misused by these conditioned souls with their demoniac attitudes of enjoying independently from the Supreme Lord as much as possible, then it actually compounds their unfortunate position, their sinful position, and they become worse than the animals. So, in one sense, out of great kindness to the human beings, to help them avoid accumulating such a vast amount of bad karma that it would be completely inconceivable, the Supreme Personality of Godhead removes them from the human species and places them in animal species, where they can kill and do all sorts of horrible things but not get any karma for it. So, if a person does not actually develop their Krishna intelligence in Krishna consciousness, and if they do have this demoniac mentality of trying to enjoy the senses as much as possible, using one's intelligence to achieve that goal, then they'll fall down. They'll fall down. So people must become Krishna conscious. They must become Krishna conscious through developing Krishna conscious intelligence, expanding their consciousness and broadening the perspective of their intelligence. Otherwise, that same intelligence, materialistic intelligence, will simply lead to their degradation. So does anyone have any comments or questions on this subject? Is forgetfulness of our previous lives due to lack of intelligence? Yeah. Memory is a function of the intelligence. In fact, one time Srila Prabhupada gave an explanation of intelligence as being a very powerful memory. That it means that you can recall the information required to act or to think intelligently. Anyway, definitely, memory is a function of the intelligence. Memory is not a function of the mind, in other words. Like at school, people are regarded as being intelligent according to what? According to their ability to pass examinations. So what gives you the ability to pass examinations? the ability to remember the information that you are taught. That's all. If you can't remember the information, then you'll never pass. So really, when we talk about intelligence, a very important part, of course there is also more to it than just that, but a very important part of intelligence is simply the ability to recall. So one is given that memory, which is supplied by the Supersoul, according to one's karma. So, we forget our previous will, or anything we forget, it's because of lack of intelligence. Just like Prabhupada explained that the spirit soul is Satchitananda. Chit means fully knowledgeable or fully intelligent, fully conscious. So when our consciousness is uncovered, our spiritual consciousness, then we can remember all our past lifetimes, because our consciousness is no longer affected by ignorance. In other words, our intelligence, our real spiritual intelligence, is functioning properly. So we can remember every detail, in fact. But in this condition, then when intelligence isn't supplied, then we can't remember. Like our childhood. In our childhood, we know we didn't have much intelligence. So what can we remember of our childhood? Not much. We can remember something. If we go back a little further, in the womb we probably really didn't have any intelligence. So as a result, no one can remember anything within the womb. But as one gets older and one's intelligence develops more, then we're able to recall more of our later school life or our early adulthood, because our intelligence has been developing more. Any other comments or questions from anyone? When the living beings within the womb, the mind and intelligence are still there, but they're undeveloped at that point. As the gross body develops, then the subtle body also develops. That's why as a person ages, as they grow up, they become more intelligent, more able to figure things out, because more intelligence is being supplied to them progressively. But with the subtle body accompanies the soul, but in that state it's very undeveloped. It's not very functional at all. One doesn't have much of a subtle body at that time. Sorry? Oh. Some people say we use 3% of our brains. Well, it is as far as we've heard, the brain as a mechanism has more potency than most people utilize or demand of it in the way they use it. But the actual intelligence in the mind is not a part of the brain. The brain, Prabhupada said, the brain is something like a gearbox. In other words, it's transmitting from the actual source, it's transmitting the power to the wheels, and then the wheels are turning. So, you know, if the gearbox is in neutral, the engine can be turning as fast as it likes, but the wheels aren't going to be working. So the arrangement within this material world is that generally our mind and intelligence and false ego, they are, which is subtle, they're not gross matter, they're connecting with this gross matter, this body, through the mechanism of the brain. So therefore, if the brain becomes affected, then their ability to transmit information and direct the gross body becomes impaired, like being stuck in first gear, something like that. You know, if you're stuck in first gear, the engine may be going like mad, but you may be moving very slowly. So it's like that. If the brain is diseased or something like that, because then whatever mind and intelligence is there will not be able to really transmit direction. Of course, we can also consider that the soul is fully conscious in its pure condition. So because the mind, because there's a certain conditioning in the form of a certain mind, intelligence, and false ego, then the pure soul is not able to manifest his pure conscious nature. It's restricted very much by the conditioning. So these things are like via mediums, and depending on their condition, the living being is able to communicate and direct the body and relate with the body, or not able to, if they're impaired. Any other comments or questions? Yeah. Is there any link between inspiration and intelligence? Well, inspiration is coming from the supersoul. Intelligence is coming from the supersoul. Inspiration, of course, one may be wrongly inspired, but one is getting inspiration. There's that example of the man, the scientist who, I forget who it was, but he was trying to figure out some mathematical equation or something. And he was taxing his brain, but he couldn't figure it out. Then one day he was just walking in a field. He wasn't even thinking about the particular thing he had been trying to calculate. But then suddenly the answer appeared in his mind. So then he came out with the well-known saying, "Eureka, I have it." It just struck him. When he'd been taxing his brain trying to figure out it, he couldn't. But now he wasn't even thinking about it, and the answer came. So this is inspiration, and this is coming from the supersoul. Actually, all intelligence is inspiration coming from the supersoul, and it's based on our desire. If we desire material things, then we'll be supplied that type of intelligence. But if we desire spiritually, in other words, particularly if we desire to please Krishna and to understand Krishna, then Krishna will definitely supply us with that intelligence. That's why there's the verse, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, Jana Yasu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayadahoitakam. That if one simply engages in devotional service to Krishna, then Jnana and Vairagya, knowledge and detachment, will causelessly manifest within oneself. Even if you're not trying to become detached, even if you're not really trying to develop knowledge of Krishna, it'll come. Apparently, causelessly, ahoitaki. So, materially, it is causeless. There's no cause. But of course, spiritually, we understand there is a cause, and that is the Supreme Lord within the heart. Because we are pleasing him, then he'll supply us with these things. So therefore we said, understanding that we need intelligence in order to function, materially or spiritually, you must have intelligence. And the way to really get intelligence from the supplier is to please him. In other words, engage in devotional service. That's why it said, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham haram. That whether you have no desires, whether you're full of desires, whether you're desiring liberation, whatever, serve Krishna. Because he is the one who can fulfill your desires, give you the intelligence to execute whatever you want to do and to thereby achieve the goal. Any other comments or questions from anyone? Srila Prabhupada, kid.